I don't...
Maybe you could step up after the years of surgeries and procedures that I've had.
Yeah.
You could have one so that I don't end up with a dangerous pregnancy.
Yeah. Well, it's old hat for you, you know? You you know where to go in the hospital. You know who to talk to.
Eric.
Yep.
How's that coffee and three beers?
I've only had a few sips of coffee and one sip of beer, but I do have three beers lined up on in front of me. I don't know what I'm going to need for this.
I don't think, I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It is?
Yes.
I thought it was later than that.
No.
Okay. We're not going to get through these three beers. It's okay. Anyway.
Well, tomorrow is our son's 6 month birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe he's 6 months already.
Yeah.
You know, the days are long, but the years really seem short, don't they?
They do. Yeah. Someone said that. I got to be honest, the days have been seeming kind of short too. It just sort of seems like everything's flying by.
Yeah. But that's good. The days felt really long when he was a little baby, and now it doesn't feel quite like we're being tortured the whole time we're awake.
Yeah, true. Here I am yawning.
This morning he woke up at 5:30 or something, so we're a little sleepy, but generally sleeping great. Joy to be around.
Yep.
Did we already talk? I don't think we talked about how we started feeding him food on the podcast.
No, because we just started feeding him food like 2 weeks ago.
I think it was more than that.
And we haven't podcasted in months.
Well, we started feeding him food. We just puree up like one or two ingredients together. He loves it.
Yes.
And it's really cute. He sits in his high chair like a person. And we hand him a spoon and he puts it in his mouth and chews on it for a while.
Yeah.
It's great.
He came out to lunch with us and he sat in a high chair. So he's got the whole high chair thing down.
Yeah.
It's amazing. As long as he's strapped in firmly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just doing baby stuff.
You know, in 6 months, he's going to be, what is it, a toddler?
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah.
He's not a baby anymore.
Soon he'll be helping out around here.
Yep.
Did you help out when you were a kid? Did you have like chores and stuff that you did?
I don't think I had chores.
I didn't do
that
shit.
That doesn't seem right.
I did nothing.
I vaguely remember, I think there was a period of time where my parents like paid me $1 to like clean my room or something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't real chores.
Yeah. I didn't get an allowance or do anything to warrant an allowance.
You know what I spent my allowance on?
What?
Those Archie comics at the grocery store.
Well, what an investment.
I have boxes of absolutely ruined Archie comics that are probably worth
nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But I've held on to them this whole time.
So Benny is almost 6 months old.
Yep.
And we have survived so far.
Yep. And it really has gotten better and better. I feel like every month he's a little more fun. We're a little less tired.
Yeah, totally. And so what was your theme for this episode?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about body after baby.
Ayo. Okay.
Specifically yours.
I was going to say, I'm not super comfortable with you confronting me about my body in this public forum, but...
No, you look good because you've been carting thousands of pounds of gravel back and forth.
That's true. I'm
really working it out.
Full on mountain man mode right now.
Yeah, you look good.
But I've only been burning several thousand calories a day for the last few days.
No, but you're doing a lot of manual labor.
True.
I think you gained a lot of weight while I was pregnant.
Definitely.
Because you were worried and I was pregnant.
Yes.
And I was eating like mostly ice cream and cheese.
Yeah. And then I was right alongside you there.
Yeah. Eating all my leftovers. Yeah. I would like take a bite of a Klondike bar and then give it to you. And then you would eat the rest of the Klondike bar. Yeah. But I think you've worked most of it off. I think you look good.
I'm getting there.
How do I look?
You look fantastic.
No, I mean, I don't mean for someone who had a baby. I mean like just as a person.
Great.
You think I look great just like as a person?
Yeah.
Do I look like I had a baby?
No.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
He's just lying. Don't lie to our listeners.
I'm not lying. I think you are perfect.
That's not the same. You have to say that because we're married.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. No, but I wanted to talk about how that whole thing has been because it's something that I always wondered, you know, before I had a baby, like what actually happens there? Because it just seems so crazy that you get so huge and there's a whole, in my case, giant person inside your body.
Yeah.
And then it's like, do you ever really come back from that? And I think before I go into it, I will say, I think I've talked before on this podcast about my unhealthy obsession with the Vanderpump Rules girls because they all just had babies this year.
Yeah.
And when I was pregnant, before I was pregnant, I was mad that all of them were getting pregnant. While I was pregnant, I was mad that all of them were having their babies and just like came out the other side of childbirth, like totally fine.
Right.
And now I'm pissed because they all look like supermodels again. Sheena's walking around in crop tops and bikinis.
Right.
Lala looks amazing.
Well, you know, their only job is to work out and monitor their diet.
I know, but still I'm just Hilaria Baldwin. She was like a day after her seventh baby. She was like doing yoga and looked amazing.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I am not there.
Yeah, but people who are famous live different lives.
I know, but I just think it sets a really unrealistic expectation. Chrissy Teigen just posted about this on her Instagram the other day. You know, she lost her baby.
Yeah.
Last 6 months ago or whatever. No, more than that. It must have been last year. But she was talking about how, because it was a pretty late stage, I think she was like 20 weeks or something when she lost the baby. And she posted a thing about how, like, your body recovering after having a baby is one thing, but at least your body knows what to do. It's sort of this cycle that it's built for.
Right.
But when you lose a baby midway through a pregnancy, it's like you're in the process of like starting to produce milk. You're like putting on weight for the baby. Your hormones are changing. And she said that it's been really hard for her. Like, she hasn't bounced back the way she did with her other ones because her body hasn't, like, doesn't know when to go through those changes.
Right. That's intense.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, I gained a ton of weight when I was, what did I gain? 30, 50?
I don't know.
Like a ton of weight. I was huge, like massive.
Yeah, I put on about 100 pounds. Yeah. So
I think I gained 40 pounds. I think that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of amazing. Like, most of that melted off within a couple months after having him. So I think that was easier than I thought it would be. Like, my face got way skinnier. Basically, like, the day he was born, I remember I came home and mom was like, you already look like yourself again.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that weight just goes away. I don't know if that's hormones or...
Probably.
What? And then I think breastfeeding, I heard, is actually a good, like, it burns a lot of calories. I think that helped. I did that for a few months. Mm-hmm. And I feel generally like back to my normal size, but I still have like, and I don't know if this is a C-section thing or what, but I just feel like I still have like a little belly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm mostly trying to get rid of at this point.
Same.
But otherwise I feel like I am basically the size I was before.
Yeah. To what do you credit this incredible recovery?
Well, I have an amazing metabolism, as you know. No, but I think this is why everyone who's had a baby doesn't look like they just had a baby. Like, you really do. I think your body like changes shape a little bit to accommodate, but it's not like, I think all the weight that you gain while you're pregnant is really to support the baby that you're growing, and then you don't need it anymore. So you go back to kind of what you were before.
Yeah. I thought you were going to get into your new hobby. I'm trying to set you up here.
And, oh, that's what you, and, when you yeah, said, and, what do you attribute
And you're
that
like,
to?
I don't know, it just sort of happened.
Well, I do. Okay. So I've been exercising.
Yes.
Using my Peloton, which we got a year-ish ago. I think we got it when I was pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never used it a day in my life until, I think it was like, when did I start? Like 6 or 7 weeks ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. What motivated me to do it finally? I don't remember. I think it's just not fitting in pants generally.
Yeah. I feel like it was that, and you were kind of obsessing, like, maybe it was the Vanderpump people, but you were sort of obsessing about what you were seeing online, and
you
got yourself into a little bit of a state.
Yeah. Cause I think once that initial weight went away, it's like, okay, this is what I'm left with. And it's sort of like, you see what your body would be like if you didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Whereas before I had a baby, I was kind of like, I can live with this. Like, this is fine.
Right.
And now it's like, I'd really rather, you know, wear normal pants again.
Sure.
None of my pants fit me. I had to buy, I think generally I'm a size six. I want a 6 or 8 in jeans. I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. And I had to buy size 12 jeans because that, like, that's how much wider I am just around the waist. But otherwise they're like too loose on me. It's very uncomfortable. I cannot find jeans that actually fit me. I've been looking at the, when I was trying to buy jeans that would fit, I was looking at the measurements, you know, of like waist and hip and whatever.
Yeah.
And my waist is bigger than it's supposed to be compared to my hips, like ratio wise. Mm-hmm. And so like, there's no, I have to go way up in size because there, no one makes pants that are that ratio. I actually think there's a great business model in not like maternity clothes and not postpartum clothes, but just like clothes for people who've had a baby.
Yeah.
You know?
That's not a thing?
I've been looking. I don't think so. Huh. But like, where you're, because basically my waist right now is the same size as my hips, a little smaller, but like much less of a ratio than normal.
Right.
And the other thing that's been so weird, I can't find any, this has been the worst thing, honestly, is I can't find any bras that fit me because because I had such a big baby, but my rib cage completely changed shape. So now like it just, I've tried a bunch of different sizes and configurations, and the only thing I can really wear comfortably is sports bras because otherwise it digs in. And I don't know if that's going to go away or if that's just because I can't, if I wear a giant size, then it doesn't work with my cup size.
You ever see, I don't know if this is appropriate. You ever see like an old person and you think, how did you get shaped that way?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Like, and you try to, I mean, sometimes I'll see that and I'll try to kind of, you know, imagine them as a young person shaped that way. And, you know, like old
young
men
are not shaped that way. Yeah. It's like,
right. Like when old men are all like barrel chested and like young people are not shaped that way. So it's their bones that are changing shape.
I think it really is. And I think when you're pregnant, your bones change shape in such a fast, dramatic way. Mm-hmm. So it's probably like, unlike if you're a dude who's just becoming more barrel chested over decades, it's like, it's very weird that all of a sudden, like my band size is like four sizes bigger or something crazy. Mm. I think I was a 34D before. And now the closest thing I've been able to find is a 38C, but like, it just doesn't fit right.
Weird.
It's really weird. And I don't know if there wasn't a pandemic, I would like go to a bra store and get fitted.
Yeah.
But I'm just sort of,
I feel like, I mean, obviously I have no clue what I'm talking about, but
go on.
As someone who has been, who's gone through periods of being very intensely into fitness, I wonder if there is sort of a muscle recovery thing that needs to happen where it's like, it's not so much your,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that your rib cage spreads out a little bit and stuff because you got a body in there, you know, but I wonder if there is, because I like, if you start working out and toning your muscles, you see this a lot, especially with weightlifting, people almost immediately start walking differently. Mm. Like their bodies, because things just tighten up and pull things into shape. And I know that, like, you know, I mean, obviously a lot of the reason why not you, but one has a belly is not only because that's where fat gets stored, but also people have weak abs.
Yeah.
And so you have this kind of like bulge outward.
Yeah. I do think that's way worse because of my C-section. Those muscles didn't work at all for.
Right. I mean, those muscles got destroyed.
Yeah. They sliced right through them.
Yeah. So I wonder if there is like a combination of things, you know, like.
Definitely. Yeah. I think it is a combination, but I think my point here is like, I think I always had the impression that after having a baby, you're fat and then you have to like work off the fat.
Yeah.
And that I don't feel like that's the situation.
Yeah.
I just feel like my body changed shape and now I have to figure out how to like shove everything back where it's supposed to be.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Back to my Peloton.
Yes.
So I am on a 7-week streak right now.
Yes.
I haven't been doing every day, but I've been doing almost every day for 7 weeks. Yeah. I'm trying not to put too much pressure on myself. So when I really am too tired, I don't do it. But for the most part, I've been doing it. I just hit 25 rides today.
Wow. You're doing a great job.
Also, I should mention, I have a broken foot and my podiatrist told me, sorry, not a broken foot. What do I have?
Stress fracture.
Minor stress fracture or something. And the podiatrist, I asked her about the Peloton and she said you can do low impact rides where you're not getting out of the saddle, but I'm getting out of the saddle.
Yeah, but we live in an area where the doctors can't really be trusted. They're mainly they don't really know anything. They're mainly just called out in the middle of the night to shoot horses and stuff.
Sure. Anyway, so I'm back out of the saddle. Yeah. I think also my foot's fine, but, yeah, it's been really fun. And I'm a person who not only like really never exercised before, except for one brief stint where I had a personal trainer, but other than that, I've never been able to motivate myself to do it. But I particularly hated cycling and I went to a couple, Soul Cycle classes. Yeah. And I went to a couple Crunch gym cycling classes, hated them. And I was the person who would make it 5 minutes in and then just be like, I just physically cannot do this. And then I would just quit and sit there until the thing was over.
Yeah.
So I think it's amazing that I've been able to actually, like, I've finished every ride that I've started. I'm constantly like beating my own personal record. So it does feel like I'm getting stronger and I'm kind of having fun.
That's cool.
Doing it.
I mean, it should be fun. You know,
I've never had, even when I had the personal trainer, exercising has never been fun for me.
For me, when I've gone through those periods of time, there's always that hump that you have to, that I have personally felt I needed to cross. And before you get to it, working out is pure misery.
But see, I think I always quit before I get there.
Yeah.
Because I'll get into running for like a week and then be like, never mind.
Yeah, that's not enough. You need to be at it for a couple months, I think, before you kind of start getting those endorphin highs that people talk about. I think that you've been at it for a little while, so you're like kind of getting into that mode.
Yeah, and I'm feeling a little stronger and I'm very OCD, so I like, anytime I learn a new hobby, I just love getting real deep into it.
You're also highly like externally motivated.
Yeah.
Oh my God, why do I keep saying like?
It's even more annoying when you correct yourself.
I have to acknowledge that I notice that I'm being stupid. Anyway, so you are very externally motivated, and I think the
Peloton's really good for that.
Yeah, the kind of almost game element of it. And
yeah, I've been unlocking badges. Yeah, I get when I get my new personal record, I'm excited. I love when people high five me or when I high five them and they high five me back.
Yeah.
It's just really fun. And I have a bunch of friends who do Peloton. I haven't done any rides with them yet, but I love the idea that I can schedule a ride with a friend and do it together.
Yeah. I'm the opposite. I can't even watch a YouTube video of someone telling me how to work out. I feel immediately hostile toward them.
Wait, is this the right time to tell that story about when you took that surfing lesson?
But that's not exercise. That was just...
Well, that is representative of your inability to be externally motivated.
Yeah. Well,
so on our honeymoon, we went to Hawaii and Eric's dream was to take a surfing lesson.
Yeah.
And we got you the 2-hour lesson because it was like...
No, it was a 3-hour lesson.
3-hour. We got the most expensive...
Because I wanted to become a real surfer.
Yeah. And what happened?
So... The guy who was my instructor, our personalities did not mesh. He did not know how to motivate me.
He was like an ex-military guy or something.
I think he fancied himself.
Okay,
to be
I thought
that.
He was.
He was sort of. He was more like an angry high school football coach or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Screaming at me that I was stupid and doing it wrong and I was going to get killed and all this stuff.
And what'd you do?
Let me just say, the first time I went out, I just rode a wave back in. As soon as I got there, I had booked a 3-hour lesson and 5 minutes in, I surfed.
But you had done that before.
No, you knew
you were capable of, I thought you had surfed before.
Oh, I mean, I surfed in New York, but those aren't real waves.
Okay. So you felt like you had already accomplished what you set out to do.
Well, sort of. Yeah. I mean, I would have loved to spend 3 hours surfing up a storm, but for people who haven't tried it, surfing is so unbelievably exhausting.
Because you're paddling.
You're just paddling the whole time. So he's yelling at me and everything. And after paddling back out a few times, I'm literally laying on the surfboard, gasping for air. I'm dying. And he's yelling at me and telling me it's time to get moving.
To
come
be fair,
on.
Probably the people who book 3-hour lessons are usually pretty like athletic and want to work hard for 3 hours.
Maybe.
We just didn't realize that's what it meant.
Yeah.
I think we were picturing that you would like paddle out there, sit on your board, hang out and have a beer with the Hawaiian instructor.
Maybe not the beer part, but at least just sort of like chill out.
Yeah.
You know?
You were picturing just hanging out on a surfboard for 3 hours.
If I surf 4 times in 3 hours,
yeah.
Great, man. Give me a high five, little hang loose. I'm out of here. But he was just, you know, a drill sergeant. It was crazy. So I'm out there and I'm gasping for air and I'm seriously, it's 45 minutes into the lesson and I'm thinking, I will not survive this. I'm going to die. And he's screaming. And at one point I even said, can we just take a break? And he was like, yeah, if that's what you need. And I said, yeah, I need that. And so we're just sitting there bobbing up and down, you know, on the boards, and like 30 seconds go by and he's like, all right, let's do this. Get focused. Let's, you know, and I just rode the next wave in and left. I left him out in the water. He was just out there waiting for me to paddle back out. And I was just like, nope, I'm out of here.
Did he yell at you? Like, did he notice that you were walking away?
I have no idea. I didn't even look back over my shoulder. I just left.
Because we paid ahead of time, to be clear.
Yeah.
It's not like you.
I felt like I was going to die. I already surfed in. So I was like, okay, check. Cross that off the list. What am I going to do? Get berated for the next 2 hours and 15 minutes by this guy who I hated the moment I met him. Also, I'm paying you, dude. Can we just talk about that for a second? I'm paying you. If I want to go bob around out there for 2 hours and 55 minutes and then ride one wave in, you still get paid the same amount. I'm paying you to hang out with me.
He probably, you know, enjoys teaching people how to surf.
Right. Right. Which I did 5 minutes after arriving.
Right.
So we already, you did it, buddy. You showed me how to surf. Now get off my back, okay? Because I'm dying out here.
So that's what happened when Eric went surfing. And that's an example of how he's not externally motivated to exercise.
But intensely internally motivated, where you've seen me go through year-long periods of time where I wake up at 6 a.m. so I could be at the gym the moment they open and I work out 6 days a week.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, but if somebody tells you to do something, you're out. You'll never work out again.
God, I don't want to make eye contact in the gym. I don't want anyone to talk to me. I'm listening to music, so I don't have to talk to anyone.
Okay, well, back to my Peloton.
Yeah.
The other thing that motivates me is my favorite instructor.
Yes.
And his name is Cody Rigsby.
Uh-huh.
The hashtag that I use on Peloton is hashtag Team Cody Rigsby.
Uh-huh.
He's cute. He's gay. He's funny. He's so supportive. I've tried a bunch of different instructors. I love him because he actually makes me laugh the whole time I'm exercising. So right. I'm like, I'm working hard and I'm working up a sweat and, you know, my legs are getting tired and stuff, but I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
And no, none of the other ones really do that.
That's great. It's great awesome. When you find someone who makes you excited to,
yeah,
to work out.
Yeah. He's really funny and he's, you would like him. I wish that you would try one of his classes, but you've given up on Peloton.
It just doesn't work for my body.
He's just so funny. And I was telling you yesterday, I was doing a class about, oh yeah, it was recorded right before the summer when we all thought the pandemic was over. And it was, he does this one series called XOXO Cody. And it's like him giving life advice. So people write in with questions and he answers.
Right.
And he's like, during the 4-minute recovery, like after a bunch of work, he's reading off of little cards with the questions. And every single question that someone asked, like somebody was like, am I too old to wear a 2-piece? And he was like, babe, you did not survive a pandemic so that those cheeks could not be in the sun. Okay. And then he just moves on to the next question. It's just so funny. And he always talks about his mom, whose name is Cindy. And so he'll just be like, today he was saying, he never wore American or what is it? Not American Eagle, Abercrombie and Fitch. Cause I was doing a 90s ride. No, it was early 2000s ride, but he was saying he never wore Abercrombie cause he was too poor. And he said, I would tell Cindy that's what I want to wear. And she would go, that's expensive. Let's just go to Old Navy. We'll figure it out. But he just tells these really like detailed, funny stories.
Yeah.
And he had this one amazing ride that was Disney themed. He narrated the whole thing like you had just gotten to the Magic Kingdom. So he was describing like what it smells like and that you're in line for a ride. And it really felt like hanging out with my friend at Disney World, which I know sounds crazy and sad, but it was really fun.
That's great.
And right now I'm drinking Cody's signature cocktail. Well, this was like his summer cocktail for this year.
Right.
It's called the Fun and Flouncy and it is rosé, frozen berries and diet 7-Up.
How does it taste?
It's great.
That's wonderful. Well, I just want to say I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. I don't think you say it enough.
Okay. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. Here's an interesting thing about exercising once you're a mom.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like I've never been able to get motivated to exercise because I'm always like, I could be watching TV, playing a game, reading a book, working, all things that drinking, eating. There's lots of things I like.
Literally anything.
Literally anything. Yeah. I could be sleeping. I could be just staring at my phone. But now that I'm a mom, when I'm exercising, it's the only time that I don't have to be with my baby, but I don't feel guilty about it because I'm like, this is going to make me healthier. This is going to make me skinnier. This is going to put me in a better mood for my baby. And so I feel like I'm really able to justify this, like I don't even think about him while I'm exercising.
Yeah.
My brain is just cleared out.
That's good.
It's amazing. I really think that's why I've been doing it most days because that's my only real, other than that, I have such a hard time like taking time for myself.
Yeah. That's something you've obviously been experiencing.
Yeah. I struggle with that
in the past 6 months, even when we have opportunities to do stuff or there's been several occasions where we've made plans to go somewhere or do something. And then you bail at the last minute because it doesn't seem like the right thing to do when you could be spending time with him or, you know,
mom guilt is very real. And I believe it. I don't think he cares. Like he's not going to remember anything from when he was under a year old, but it just feels if I'm not doing anything more important. So that means that I'm spending all of my time. I'm either working or I'm with him or I'm feeling like I should be with him.
Yeah.
And so exercising is like the one thing where I'm like, this is something my whole life, everyone's been telling me I should exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And now I finally have something that I want to do less than exercise,
right,
which is hang out with my baby. But that's good. You know, silver lining.
Yeah. And you know, you're painting it in a pretty negative light right now, but I think it's not just that you're stepping away from your baby, which is much needed and totally acceptable. You shouldn't feel guilty about that. But also I think you've kind of tapped into the right kind of working out, like the right kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, it definitely works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. So I'm buying our son a bunch of Peloton merch. I'm probably going to start wearing Cody Rigsby shirts every day.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm having a great time. I really think people should get a Peloton and look up Cody Rigsby.
That's great. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Say it a few more times.
I'm so proud of you.
This episode is actually sponsored by Peloton.
Yeah, where riders come to ride. Do they have a?
I don't know. If Peloton wants to send me some free clothes, I'll wear them.
Yeah. Peloton, hit us up, you know, some free subs. We can give away some gift subscriptions or
free
something.
Free subs?
Yeah, you know, like hoagies. No, subscriptions.
That's what I thought you meant. No. Like, why would they send you a sandwich?
No, we pay monthly for Peloton. I thought maybe they could comp us, you know, for bringing people into the fold here.
Yeah.
But if they want to send me some hoagies, Jersey Mike's.
We'll take whatever.
I'll take a free Jersey Mike's.
We do love a Jersey Mike's sub. The last thing I wanted to talk about on this episode, we'll see how much we get through before we have to go take the baby. So one thing that you don't think about, especially when you have such a hard time having a baby as we did, after you have a baby, your gynecologist is going to warn you that you should not and actually cannot get pregnant again. If you've had a C-section, you have to wait at least a year. Like, it's actually dangerous if you get pregnant again too soon.
Yes, yeah.
And so when I went in for my checkup, they started talking to me about, sorry, he's screaming. I don't know if that's coming through on the mic.
I'm sure it is.
Very loud screamer. Anyway, they started talking to me about pregnancy prevention.
Yeah.
They also gave me the talk, which apparently all doctors do, which is that you shouldn't have sex for 6 weeks after you have a baby. And my doctor was like, just so you know, you can actually have sex sooner than that. But we tell everybody that so they have an excuse for their husbands if they need it, because not everybody feels like doing it right after they have a baby.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So there's people who like literally have to have a doctor's note. Because otherwise the husband's like, get back to it. Oof.
Yeah. Anyway, so they started talking to me about...
Do those guys not have internet porn?
I don't think that's the same. I
mean, it's not the same, but...
Maybe in VR.
Listen, I've been wanting to try that for a long time.
If you have a fleshlight and VR, I think you're good.
Yeah.
You can leave your wife alone.
That's why I'm building the cabin.
Okay. Anyway, they started talking to me about how to avoid getting pregnant.
Yeah.
And they were like, what are you doing for birth control? And I haven't been on birth control in 5 years.
Yeah.
And it hadn't occurred to me because we had a hard time getting pregnant. And I said that, you know, I was like, well, we went through IVF. Like, I don't think we're going to just accidentally get pregnant. And they said, you're actually much more fertile, like right after you have a baby. That's very common for people to accidentally get pregnant, even if they had a hard time getting pregnant before.
I've mentioned this to some people also, some of whom are parents. And they were like, whoa, is that real?
Yeah. Apparently, that's what the doctor said. And I think this is one of those things where, like, nobody talked to you about how you could avoid us getting pregnant again. It's all on me. And the conversation was like, what are you going to do for birth control? And so they gave me a little packet that had all the options. And they were like, do you want pills? Do you want, what is it? There's like a shot or a patch or something. There's an IUD. And I think of those options, I was like, the IUD sounds like the best one. So I came home and talked to you about it. And I said, we have two options. You get a vasectomy.
Yeah.
Or I get an IUD.
Yeah.
And the way that they pitched the IUD to me was they were like, it's easy. You pop it in there, you know, a couple days later, you feel totally fine. No big deal.
And my completely naive understanding of that was that it was pretty easy.
That's what I thought.
It was just sort of like.
Everyone I know with an IUD talks about it like it's, and I guess relatively speaking, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
And then with a vasectomy, you know, it's like there's 24 hours of recovery time.
Yeah.
No big deal. Everything's back to normal.
Yeah.
But the trade-off is a man has to do something. So that was a very unappealing option to both of us.
Well,
so what decision did we make, Eric?
Here's the thing. I think that we were both very naive in our understanding,
Eric,
of the options.
Even if it was,
no one talked to me about my options. The doctors treated me like I was your Uber driver.
That's what I'm saying.
And, I don't know. I mean, if you come to me and you're saying like, hey, it's all the same, but would you want to have surgery on your genitals? I mean, it's all the same, but I mean, then.
You were like, I would prefer not to.
Yeah. Like if you're asking me just in a vacuum.
Why is it on me to tell you that you have to get a vasectomy?
Maybe
you could step up after the years of surgeries and procedures that I've had.
Yeah.
You could have one. So that I don't end up with a dangerous pregnancy.
Yeah. Well, it's old hat for you, you know? You know where to go in the hospital. You know who to talk to. I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to be so confused.
You're not going to know what desk to go to.
Yeah. So, no, I don't know. I feel like our decision for you to get.
So we decided that I would get an IUD. I decided, really, because you know, you put the decision on me. And I was like, I'm not going to make you get a vasectomy. And I just want to say, I think this is part of the issue with like gender roles when it comes to everything having to do with babies, because to me, it was just easier to do it than to like have you do it and then have to like feel guilty about it. Or like if something goes wrong, it's my fault. Or, you know, it's like, it feels like it's easier for like, cause I know that if I get disfigured or something horrible happens or I can't have another baby or whatever, it's at least, you know, I can deal with that cause I made that decision.
Right.
And I know that if something went wrong and you lost a testicle or something, you would never shut up about it. And it, would be, it just emotionally seems like so much work. So I got the IUD.
Yes.
And I went into the doctor's, this was 2 weeks ago now, right?
Yeah.
I went into the doctor's office and I literally like, I was like working that day. Like I was just like, oh, I'll just pop to the doctor and be back. I really thought it was like, stick it in there and then you're all done.
Yeah.
And when I got there and sat down, they started like walking through all the things that you have to know about the procedure. And I don't even remember all the things, but they were talking about there's going to be really heavy cramping like during and after the procedure. There's a risk of bleeding. There's if you do get pregnant after the IUD, it would be an ectopic pregnancy.
In hindsight, I wish you had tapped out.
I was thinking, when they started listing all these things, oh, and they were like, we'll give you some Advil or whatever to help you better tolerate the pain, which is not what you want to hear. Like if there's pain, give me something real. So that I'm not like, I just find it very offensive that every time there's like a lady procedure, it's like, this is going to be the worst pain you ever felt in your life, but you can handle it. You know,
yeah,
you got this, you're fine. But they were listing all these things to me. And I almost started crying because I don't know why it hadn't occurred to me that it would be sort of traumatic to like do yet another thing after all the things I've had to do.
Right.
But that's what it felt like, is like, yet again, I'm sort of tricked into a procedure that's going to be painful and potentially risky. And, oh, and they mentioned, so you're going to be in, you know, you're going to have really bad pain. It's going to feel like really bad period cramps for like 2 days and then you'll be fine. The reason it stops after 2 days is because after 2 days, I forget if it's your uterus or your cervix just gives up on trying to push it back out of you. So that's why you stop having cramps after 48 hours. And they were like, we don't know why 48 hours, it just happens. And like, you know, just an example of how nobody does research on anything having to do with women's bodies, even though we're the ones doing all these procedures. And they said, you know, most people with an IUD, like you probably won't have a period the whole time you're doing it, which sounds great. You know, like I'm excited to not have my period, but they were like, you're going to bleed for a while after you get it. And I was like, well, how long is a while? And they were like, usually, you know, about a month, which was like, didn't seem like a huge deal. And now it's been 2 weeks straight and I'm just still, blood is just pouring out of me on a daily basis. It was a super painful procedure. I mean, it only took like 10 minutes, but it was really painful. Not as painful as childbirth, but probably, you know, top five.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
And that, you know, and then I didn't go to work after because I was in a lot of pain. I had to drive myself back afterwards.
I can't believe they didn't tell you to have someone drive you.
I think because relatively speaking, it was not unmanageable pain for me. You know, it's like, I'm used to really bad period cramps. I'm used to all kinds of shit hurting in my body because I'm a woman and we just take that shit on. And I think that's really unfair.
Yeah.
And I did think about tapping out when they were listing all this stuff. And I was like, what am I going to do? Like, again, it just feels like too much work. Like I'm going to have a big emotional conversation with them about how, frankly, like, I'm not sure. I'm not convinced we even need pregnancy prevention because it's like,
right.
I mean, it's not like we're having sex that often because shit's all moved around in there anyway. I got to figure out how to get back into the, you know, it's, I'm just saying it's not super high risk at the moment, you know? And I also like, we know we want a second kid. And that was my other realization is like, when we're ready to do that, I'm going to have to get this taken out, which they said doesn't hurt as much, but still hurts a lot to get it removed. I have to go back in a month to make sure it's stuck in there because sometimes it just like falls out and then you have to get it reinserted, which I'm not doing if it comes out. But what I realized is like,
when you do get it taken out, are you going to need a ride or can I just stay in my cabin with my Fleshlight VR setup?
I think you're good. I think you can just chill out. Nobody needs anything from you.
Oh, that's great.
You're good. You can just relax. I wish you could relax, but your life is so stressful.
Yeah.
I know it's, you know, you have a hard time relaxing while I'm watching the baby.
If you can just drive a case of Gatorade out to the cabin once in a while, I think I'll be able to relax.
Anyway, I realize we have whatever it is, 3 or 4 frozen embryos hanging out. Like when we have a second kid, I'm just going to do an IVF transfer with however many embryos. If it doesn't work, we're not doing IVF again.
Yeah.
But like, sorry, but we don't need any more of your sperm. So like.
You don't.
No, nobody does.
Mm.
No.
I don't know. No. We don't know that.
No.
Don't know that.
Yes, we do. You've said many times that even if we get divorced or I die or something, it's not worth the work to find another wife.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't think you're. Anyway. Maybe this is a helpful lesson to other people. Just because your doctor is pushing you to use birth control, you probably can like weigh your own risk assessment and decide if you really need that.
Yeah.
My mom was, she was like, cause I didn't tell her until after I did it. And she was like, you guys tried to get pregnant for like 4 years. Why do you think you need an IUD And I was like, I didn't even really think about it. They just told me I had to pick one of the options.
Yeah.
Like I didn't really.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's just crazy. And I'm really tired of the bleeding. I'm just really sick of it.
Yeah.
After it's just been so much stuff. And it's like, yeah. I just recovered to the point where like my abs aren't numb from where the, and it's like, just feels like every time there's a new thing.
Yeah. I mean, that is not something that men deal with in any way. So it's horrible.
Horrible. So that's what's going on with us.
Very cool. Very fun. Very flouncy.
Love my Peloton. Love Cody Rigsby.
Yep.
Love my little baby.
Yeah.
He's a good boy. We love him. What else is he up to these days? He just figured out how to blow spit bubbles. That's like his favorite thing.
Yeah. And making fart noises.
Yeah. Loves it.
So 5:30 a.m. you just hear.
And then giggling. Yeah. It's really funny. He sits up basically by himself. Like we have to monitor him, but he can hold himself up now, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I guess that's about it. Feels like he's doing a lot, but oh, his first tooth came in this week.
Oh yeah.
He has one little tiny tooth. It's so cute.
I mean, it's just broken through. It's not like, you know,
but it's like definitely there
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, difficult for him for about 24 hours, it seemed like. And now he's kind of.
It's like you hear all these horror stories. Like, yes, he was really fussy for a day, but he was not that bad. He wasn't inconsolable. Again, we're very lucky.
Yeah. He's very chill.
He's a very chill baby.
Yeah.
And it's like, even when he's upset, you can tell that he wants to be happy. Like when he's crying, you can still make him laugh and stuff.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
Good baby. Okay. Well, those are my thoughts on Body After Baby.
Okay.
I highly recommend the Fun and Flouncy drink.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Fun and Flouncy. Cody Rigsby. IUD. You got it.
You got it.
Well, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
And
you're sorry.
And I'm sorry. I am deeply sorry for
everything.
Everything. not just what I've done, but everything.
Yes, you should be.
Yeah, I know.
It's the patriarchy.
I know.
Literally.
I get it. I know I'm benefiting from it, but I get it. And I hate it.
You said that like you are joking that you hate it. You do hate it.
Of course I do. I think it sucks.
You're still saying it like you think you're joking.
No. Everybody should be able to have a VR cabin with with marital aids mounted to the wall. Not just men.
Okay. Are we done here?
I think so.
Okay, great.
Okay, bye.
Bye.